According to the Department of Justice, in 2013, only 35% of sexual assault victims reported their claims to the police, which is what makes sex assault cases so hard to investigate. Carrie Hull was a beat cop in Ashland, Oregon. When she became a detective a few years ago, she asked for a chance to fix the problem and was told, go ahead. She created a program that gives victims reporting options, and she's now traveling to other police departments who either have or want to implement the program. She's with us in Boston. And so, Carrie, Detective Hull, how did you start?
What I did is I started talking directly to the victims that were experiencing this crime and started asking them, what would you like the police to do for you? Yeah. What is the reason that you don't feel like you're able to stay with the process ultimately for us to be able to move forward with a case? Or what is keeping you from coming in and reporting it in the first place to law enforcement?
And what was the overarching answer?
Oh, we received, and I will say pretty consistently, actually, three responses. They're concerned with their confidentiality. And when you report to law enforcement, you have public records laws, you have a report that's taken, this incredibly personal thing has happened to you where you've been violated, and we document it, and we document it a lot of times, especially if it goes to trial, where it becomes a public record for people to read about. And so confidentiality every single time, but also they do have at some level of fear that they're not going to be believed. That isn't always just from law enforcement, though. We heard when we really started talking with people that it was a fear that their families weren't going to believe them. It was a fear that the social network that they were involved with was going to judge them or not believe that this had occurred. What we know about, you know, people who offend is that oftentimes they know the person they victimized. So very understandable that this could be a family member. This could be somebody that they've been friends with for 10 plus years, even 6 months. So that means this person is also going to know other people in their life. Mm. And it is hard.
What's the third reason?
That they delayed reporting. So they were concerned that because they didn't initially report right after it occurred, that they weren't going to be believed.
Right. So you've come up with this new program called You've Got Options. What are the options?
There is a series of 20 elements to the program. There may be a victim that steps forward that wants two or three of those. We don't put what we believe someone needs on the person who was victimized. We let them tell us what they need. And that's a real shift from the traditional law enforcement response, which can be pretty assumptive of what somebody needs or wants or should want if they've been victimized.
Well, for instance, if someone is the victim of a crime, they can sleep on it and decide whether or not they want to come in and talk.
Yeah, and that's true of any person who's victimized. The reality is, it is a volunteer system. There's no requirement that you have to report to the police. Traditionally in law enforcement, we've been fairly heavy-handed with statements. And again, not every police department, but the assumption about law enforcement is that we expect people to just come forward and tell us everything that happened. And when someone doesn't, you sort of hear a response both from society and sometimes law enforcement, well, why didn't they? It's a volunteer system.
It's interesting. I was reading about how the Brighton Police Department in Colorado, which is one of your partners that has taken this up, one of those officers said, well, wait a second. We give police officers after a shooting. We tell them to go away and think about it so they can have more clarity. You're nodding. Why not give victims of assault the same option? They also can remain anonymous. But you know what happens when that happens? The people who are the accused say, well, wait a second. Well, how come my name is out and the person who accuses me gets to remain anonymous?
Yeah, and it's an understandable concern. We're using law enforcement methods that are used in all sorts of other areas of crime. So, for instance, drug offenses. We encourage anonymous reporting of drug offenses all the time. We actually work confidential, reliable informants where we even pay people for intelligence on offenders who are drug offenses because it's intelligence. Now, that does not mean in any way that somebody is labeled as a suspect when we don't have corroboration that a crime has occurred. It does mean that we have more information that could lead to that corroboration at a later date.
A couple of the other elements that people can choose to use, they can control the location, the time, the date when they make a report to law enforcement. They can bring an advocate with them, somebody maybe from a sexual assault organization. The premise is that reporting is so low because of these other issues. Now, usually police departments like to keep reporting and rates low. You're shaking your head no. Because if you are encouraging reporting and you are and you're getting results, which I understand you are, you're getting more reporting, you're driving your crime rate up.
Well, the crimes are already happening. So it's not that you have more crimes happening in your community. You just have more intelligence potentially on offenders that are committing that crime. So you have to be very, very careful about what correlations you draw to low crime report numbers. Mm. That doesn't mean the crime is not happening. You should be very, very proud as a member of your community if you have a high rate of reporting regarding sexual assault for law enforcement, because it means that they're doing something to provide an environment where survivors feel like they can step forward and provide information.
You mentioned that much of sexual assault is a known attacker, known victim. But I've also been reading that it's also a repeat offender. Mm-hmm. So if you drive the rates up by getting more reporting, you stand a better chance of finding those people and charging them and driving the rates back down.
Exactly. We definitely hope over time that we will see a reduction in victimization. Our goal initially is to increase the reporting. But, we have other goals in the program. We really seek for victims to view law enforcement as a viable route to justice. We don't want them to feel like they can't come forward and interact with the criminal justice system, because it is to our benefit to gather that intelligence. It's also to our benefit to make sure that they receive services. Mm-hmm. You can actually make somebody more vulnerable if you increase the likelihood that they won't report to police. If you think about it just from an offender's perspective, if you're going to pick someone to victimize, is it better to pick somebody who feels like they can come forward and talk with the police if something happens to them? Or is it better to target somebody who would never report to the police?
Because they have shame.
Yes.
Yeah, and all the reasons we mentioned. I'm wondering, Carrie, Detective Hull, how does this dovetail with something else that we found out from the scathing look at the Baltimore police system, in which they found a dysfunctional relationship between the police and the black community? Mm-hmm. They also were scathing in how the Baltimore Police Department treated women, the names that women were called by police when they didn't think anyone was hearing. Look, we don't want to broad brush here. We don't want to paint all police with this, but yeah. Does this tell you that you're onto something, that there is a problem systematically in some police departments about the way women victims are viewed?
Oh, we absolutely know that there's a problem. I wish that this program wasn't necessary. And let me be clear, I adore my profession. We have an amazing amount of people that are in law enforcement to do the right thing. None of us in law enforcement are okay with somebody who is, wearing the uniform standing next to us not doing the right thing. And that's why we take it so, so incredibly careful when we accept police departments into this program. You can't just say that you want to be a You Have Options agency and we, give you a logo and you put a brochure out in your police department. It holds a very high level of accountability, because we do not want to let other police departments who may not be in a place that they have identified that gender bias, where they have identified that need for training, if they're not to that place, they're not going to dilute the program for other police departments that have really put in the time to do this right. We hope over time what that means, because it is law enforcement led, and that's what's particularly unique here. This is from within our profession, from law enforcement officers, talking to other law enforcement officers saying this is possible, we can do this, and it works. Mm-hmm. Additionally, the agencies that join, so you have the Brighton Police Department, you have the Garfield County Sheriff's Office in Washington. When you have these agencies who fully have implemented, they have opened themselves up to accountability within their communities. So this isn't something that you can just say you're doing and then have a survivor walk into your police department and not have this response. It actually requires that there is a written policy that every officer will offer these options equally. And that's wonderful for survivors.
Just to tell us quickly, how much has your rate of sexual assaults gone up in Ashland after implementing this program?
So initially, when we started in 2013, we saw that first year, and we did not anticipate this by any means, 106% increase in reporting that first year. We've consistently had the same number come in.
And again, 106% increase in reports of sexual assault. That's a good thing.
Not only are we seeing consistency where we hear back from survivors that they don't regret reporting to police, which is incredible, we're also hearing from police officers that they don't feel as upset, as frustrated by investigating these cases, because by providing options, they're allowing people to interact with the criminal justice system more in the way that's right for them, so that they actually continue to stay involved.
Carrie Hull, a detective at the Ashland Police Department and director and founder of the You Have Options program, which she's taking around the country. We'll have more at hearnow.org. Detective Hull, Carrie, thank you.
Thank you.
And by the way, Carrie also told us that, yes, a fraction of sexual assault report claims are false, but better reporting and investigation should make the falsely accused feel better about the process as well.